give us a field, more will come, you know, type of thing. We'll have more leverage. Right. And that's the hope for Tel Aviv. Right.
And one thing everybody says, bring somebody who sells hot dogs and food. Apparently, that's the one thing that will rescue baseball.
Yeah, that's
when people know they can get a good hot dog in a baseball game, they will come, apparently.
What about a Knish, though? You can't get Knishes here.
ברוכים הבאים ל-A כושר הוטדוג, פודקאסט הבייסבול הראשון בעברית עם יוני לברי ואנוכי ארז שעד. שלום יוני.
מה קורה ארז?
בסדר, אני שמתי לב שמרוב האורחים שיש לנו אני מתחיל להגיד A כושר הוטדוג.
איי,
איי, כבר לא נהייתי A כושר הוטדוג.
נחזור לזה.
בהמשך.
נקניקייה כשרה יהיה בעוד שבועיים.
כן, בדיוק. משדר הוא 223 יוני, ואם אתם אוהבים עצים... אז תדעו שהמשדר מגיע אליכם בחסות ת' ר' מסחר ויבוא עצים. כל סוגי העצים מכל רחבי העולם, ואני עוד עובד על זה.
אתה מקדם טוב.
ואיכות יוצאת דופן. בקרו אותנו בכתובת דרך בן צבי 20 ביפו, או באינטרנט לא בו זמנית. t-r.co.il, אפשר בטלפון כשאתם שם, אבל זה אידיוטי. t-r.co.il, כי המחירים שלנו הם לא בדיחת קרש.
אתה ממש משתפר.
ביום
ראשון, ביום ראשון נראה את התוצאות.
טוב, אז אנחנו מסוף ותמיד התחלה.
כל סיום הוא התחלה חדשה.
בדיוק.
תמיד הפרידה היא קשה.
אנחנו מסיימים את פרויקט הישראלי בייסבול 2024/5 קווים לדמותו.
עכשיו אנחנו מעלים את הקלוזר.
בדיוק, ואיך איך לא, איך לא לסיים עם הבן אדם ש got us here, I think, I mean, without whom there was no Israeli baseball.
Wow.
Well, is the commish. We
pretty
have to,
sure there would be Israeli baseball.
Okay, we're talking to Josh Alter here. Josh, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for having me.
I mean, first of all, I have to say, we were thinking of starting with you, but you were doing stuff for this organization, the IDF.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Unfortunately, I was pulled aside for 2 months in the middle of October for some fun stuff up north.
Fun.
Yeah, well,
it a lot of action. He saw action.
Yeah, you know, like... It wasn't too much action, wasn't too fun, but it was unfortunately something that, you know, obviously I had to do.
Israeli baseball is contributing a lot.
It's contributing a little bit too much. We are actually
going to talk about the thing, because I've been thinking we have the Israeli part of the Israeli baseball, and that's a bit of a big issue, not just because of that, but before that, we're talking about people who were sick on the baseball field and hurled.
Mm-hmm.
So who hurled the first no-hitter for the Nationals or the Expos? So the entire history of the club, who hurled the first no-hitter? Was it Bill Stoneman, Charlie Lee, Dennis Martinez, or Jordan Zimmerman?
Dennis Martinez is Pedro's brother, right? Oh, no, it was Ramon Martinez.
I think Ramon
was Pedro's brother, yeah. Oh, what's the last one?
Jordan Zimmerman. Mm. The only Zimmerman I know in the Nationals history was not hurling anything other than insults and bats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a...
That's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Pick
one.
Pick one, A, B, C, or D.
I'll go with B.
All right, Yoni?
I'll take the Martinez guy.
So I'll take the Zimmerman, I don't know. Maybe it was Bob Dylan's illegitimate brother. Okay, Josh Alter. First of all, we can let's reveal. We you know, everybody who's here, Alter immediately thinks, yes, you are Avi Alter's brother.
That's exactly what you're thinking.
And Yoni Alter's. Yeah, so first of all, how is Avi? Last time I saw him, he was limping off a baseball field. Is he okay? Reconstructed surgery?
Yeah, no surgery needed.
All right.
He did have a fracture in his knee, though.
Can you explain what you're talking about?
First game of the year, when was it? Last year?
He's playing for
23-24.
Okay, let's roll back. First of all, you are Jordi Alter's son.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about royalty here. We had a few families in our endeavors.
Jordi Alter the first.
Jordi Alter the first of his name. And the president of the IAB, is it a president or is he?
Yeah, he's the president.
Okay, not a chairman or whatever.
Yeah,
we don't do chairmen here. You are also the commissioner of the PL.
Yeah.
I would say, you didn't get it because you were his son, or maybe you did. Maybe you can reveal the beans here.
Yeah, I like to think not.
Well, I have to say, Yoni, and I'm said it personally, and now I'm going to say it publicly. I'm really happy that you are the commissioner of the PL. We work together,
yeah.
I really think you're a good, can-do person. I always say I prefer somebody who does.
After you go, you'll say other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always say I prefer somebody who does stuff. Maybe make mistakes. Maybe I don't agree with everything he does, but he does things.
For sure.
Than somebody who doesn't do, yeah. And you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now we got that out of the way.
So yeah, the Avi Alter story.
Okay, Avi is your brother, and he plays for the same team.
He played for Beit Shemesh, and Comet. I think it was last year, 23-24 season. He was working in the off season on like becoming a catcher. He's traditionally a third baseman or a second baseman.
You're a pitcher and
I'm a pitcher and infielder. It's a corner infielder, so third base or first base usually.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really have a great catcher that consistently shows up for the team. So it's like, okay, Avi has the skill set potential. You know, let's put him at catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked a little bit in the summer on like becoming a better catcher. We get there first game, first inning. He's catcher for the first inning, he catches, and then we come up to hit, bottom of the first. He's, I think, our second batter.
Mm-hmm.
First pitch he sees, inside fastball, he puts a really good swing on it and hits it really hard right into his kneecap.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And like, I've seen it one other time, I think in the MLB, where a batter's hit a ball into his own kneecap, because the angle is very challenging. It's not, you have to be like you have to miss on like a really high level to be able to hit the ball into your own knee.
200 more pitches.
Exactly. 2000, you know? So that perfect situation happened. And he thought he was okay. He limped to first base,
tried to walk it off.
He continued playing for like another inning, and then he tried to catch the next inning, and he like couldn't move
so
much. And then he went to check it out, and he broke his knee.
Wow!
It was a hairline. It wasn't too bad. It was 60
days.
60 days. Yeah. Unfortunately, the whole season is 60 days.
He was gone for the season.
Yeah, he was out for the season. Yeah. I remember. I think your and of course your mother was watching that, was like. She was this close to come tough it up, you know, because I think your mother is like...
She's a little bit crazy.
She is. She is a bit nuts. I mean, if your dad was there, he would probably rush in and carry his ailing son on his head, but she was like, tough it up!
Yeah. It's funny because the two injuries that I remember in the PL from the last 3 years...
Both of them
are both my brothers. Like, both of them ended up going to the ER and being, you know, my brother tore his ACL. And
that's Yoni?
Yoni, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then going for a pop-up on the first base side.
I never saw him, by the way.
And then he fell over that, you know, that, like, area where there's, like, the mound. So it's like...
Oh, man.
So he, like, tripped. He made a wrong step.
Him, like...
It wasn't even like a field problem. It was more him. Like, he misplayed the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of correct himself and go back to the ball,
which
he made a weird and awkward move
on the mound,
which like your leg is just like not used to that.
It's strange spot, you know.
It's a strange.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. This is why. This is the real reason why they don't want pitchers to be fielding. Because they would probably be fielding around the mound, looking up, moving backwards.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. With all the jokes aside.
Yeah.
So, but you are, as I said, a pitcher. I never saw Yoni, by the way. I think he may have retired after that.
You'll see him this season.
Season. Yeah. You're also the commish. You're also the coach.
I'm not a coach. Not a coach anymore.
Oh, you were the coach.
I was the coach.
You find yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And we will talk about that. And the ace of the Comets, let's call it that
way. One of the aces. Yeah.
Well, and so first of all, how did you start?
How did I start playing baseball in general? Okay, so I guess it goes back to, Fairlawn, New Jersey.
You were born...
I was born in 91.
Yeah.
I was born at some point in this existence, in 1991.
You and your brothers were born in the U.S.
Yeah, we were born in Fairlawn, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up there till 2005. So we were, we had a pretty decent-sized backyard. Me and Yoni would play baseball there pretty much every day after school and on the weekends with friends.
You know, from 3-4 years old, I was obsessed with baseball by far, right. Like my favorite sport. I mean, I love basketball, hockey, football, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
Like baseball was always like my, it's kind of my first love.
Because of your father or because
my
of
dad
your...
was always into baseball a mm-hmm. lot. My older brother's also into baseball. But I think it was just like more of a connection. Like I really just loved the sport. I loved
your three brothers?
Three brothers. I have an older brother who lives in the States, who still lives in Jersey,
mm-hmm.
And two younger brothers that live here.
Oh, okay.
That play on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there till, you know, I would play in the local Fairlawn League till I was about 13. Pretty high level league there, you
right.
know. Not a Jewish league, you know. There's 10% of the league maybe was Jewish, but like it's mostly, you know, some really good ball players. You know,
right.
I was really good for my. I went to like a Jewish private school in the States, and I was always, you know, one of the best athletes there, or baseball players, or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
and then going to these fields and playing with these public school kids
right.
who were just, you
somebody
know,
made it all the way?
I'm sure.
not
from Fairlawn, I've actually looked up like players I played with that I thought like maybe had a chance, and none of them
no.
made it.
Uh-huh.
But from Fairlawn, there have been MLB players in the past. In general, Jersey's a pretty big baseball state. They have good baseball programs, good travel teams in the summer. For me growing up, like I was never, me and my brother were never on the travel teams because they would
right.
play on Shabbat. So that was, ties into what my dad.
Yeah, it does
ties
into something we will talk, which Jordi told us. Now, what age were you when you came here in 2005?
I was 13, almost 14.
No, right. So you were, so, because he said the only reason he joined the IAB
mm-hmm.
was because you wanted to play, or he wanted you to play. It's different.
Yeah.
And he was very worried that you will be asked to play on Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the only way I can guarantee there will not be games on Saturday
mm-hmm.
is to be part of the
yeah.
ruling committee on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, the irony here is now I'm president and I preside and govern over games, not Israeli, but international,
mm-hmm.
that are played during Shabbat, during
yeah.
the... I mean, we don't play in Yom Kippur. That one we managed to avoid
sure.
A few times. But
for sure.
Other than that, it says it's pretty ironic that the sole reason he came
yeah.
was to guarantee that.
Yeah, I think originally my dad got into baseball by coaching the cadets in Beit Shemesh because
mm-hmm.
we got there and there were too many players on the team. So they're like, Josh can't play on the team unless you coach type of thing because we need a coach. So he kind of fell into that. Like,
So
he started coaching and then he started helping run Beit Shemesh baseball and then he got more involved in the IAB and it kind of, you know, snowball effect into
mm-hmm.
him being where he is now with
yeah,
the organization.
I think that's the story everyone tells, that they joined in some capacity.
Joined by accident?
Yeah, I think one thing led to another and now I am the overlord of baseball in the Middle East or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So how was moving from the States to here? It's a different...
To Beit Shemesh.
Yeah.
Well, Beit Shemesh, but mm-hmm. everything. I mean, it's
yeah.
you were from a place where baseball is still... officially the national pastime to a place where baseball
yes.
is not even most people don't even know what it is.
100%. It was very challenging, I would say, in the beginning. I mean, mostly not from baseball reasons, just from, you know, cultural differences coming
mm-hmm.
to an Israeli high school as opposed to an American high school. You know, kids
yeah.
are very different, teachers are different, the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
vibe
everything
and culture is very different.
You didn't know Hebrew.
I didn't know Hebrew.
It still doesn't.
Almost at all.
No. You prefer English, but no, it's Hebrew.
The man is like 20 years in Israel and we still talk in English.
Yeah, I mean, shut up a bit, what should I say?
No, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
We still have a deadline.
So baseball for me coming here, it was like, it was something that I was excited about because I'm like, okay, I can't like not play baseball in my life. That's not like an option for me. And I knew that, you know, there are national teams here, so that sounded excited for me, like representing
yeah.
Israel. So it wasn't like moving here was, I wasn't looking at it as like, oh, now baseball is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, yeah, obviously the competition is much lower here than it is in the
Which
States.
Is something we never talked about. You came in from being just another guy to becoming... Just by being an American who come to Israel,
yeah.
you all of a sudden...
Who played
yeah.
baseball there.
Yeah,
yeah
so
yeah.
it's basically like being from, you know, somebody from AA,
mm-hmm.
who is a AA player, now put him
in
a PL team,
yeah.
and he's like, you know, a Hall of Famer. All of a sudden,
yeah.
he's the best player you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So was it part of the excitement being all of a sudden, you know... A leader, just in terms of who you, your skills?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, it was very different for me, like how I fit into the team here as opposed to how I fit into the team in the States. You know, in Farallon, we're like, again, I was in the older group the year before we left, so I was, I would say, maybe one of the, you know, leaders or pitchers on the team. But coming here with my experience, you know, at 13, I was able, I threw a curveball, and, you know, no one here knew what a curveball was at that age.
Well, a lot of players, a lot of pitchers still don't.
Let's for sure. And you, like, you I was
one of them, a game, and everybody's like, oh, great.
Yeah. And like, I was pretty good, you know, like compared to Israeli competition, whatever. But I would say my brother Yoni, who's 2 years younger than me, was always better than me, at least for his age. You know, he would come here, he came here, he was 11, 12 years old, and he would totally dominate.
And,
like,
and as you said, you get in a chance to represent the country, the state, and which you probably would not, I don't know if you would make an all-state in, in, I mean, we don't know because you you left.
Likely not, but like...
Well, I don't know, I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
So how was it, and by the way, people... still remember when you talk to people and said it was a good team. I mean, Josh Alto was there. You were considered one of the better players in your as a kid. So I'm saying, how was it, how did it feel, you know, going as part of the team? And I don't know what capacity you were as a pitcher then, or
both pitcher and fielder.
So you were a pitcher your whole life. So how did it feel going abroad and being playing international as probably the the leading pitcher or stuff like that?
For sure. Always like a huge privilege, obviously. Even as a kid, like I think coming from the States, I would feel that more than the average Israeli player because, you know, playing for the Israeli team, the team, that was always like, it was a dream. It wasn't like a, something that could be a reality for me. I never thought that I could represent Israel for baseball. So I probably took it for granted a little bit also at that age. But in general, like I, meeting different people from the country, from Israel, because, you know, you get here, you're in your school, you have your own bubble. But on the national team, you know, you meet people from Tel Aviv, from the Sharon, from up north, from down south, and like people that are religious, that aren't religious, and some people in between. And you get to see different personalities. For me, that was like the coolest part, like the diversity of the team and like just kind of fitting in, coming with my my background, which hopefully adds some value to the team, and, you know, joining this melting pot of players that come from, you know, all different places from the country and all different, all over the States, probably originally. Like for me, it was an crazy experience. Like it was a really cool experience in that way.
So when did you stop your, let's say, your active career and move more into coaching? I mean, you're still an active player.
Yeah.
But when did you decide to, okay, let's switch gears here. Let's make it more into a hobby, into a thing. And
So I would say in the beginning, like I played through until the Army, right? Till I was 18, 19. And then I was coaching already from when I was 15, 16, I was already coaching the younger groups.
Oh, right.
Because I was coaching my younger brother and whatnot, and like it was just interest, like I always wanted to coach. I like working with kids in general, I like teaching baseball, and coaching has always been like something that I really enjoyed. So it kind of just, Army obviously stopped all that, but I was playing mostly and then coaching sometimes. And then after the Army, I wanted to come back, get involved and play and continue coaching, which eventually led to, you know, the commissioner and, you know, which we'll talk about.
So how do you juggle being, I mean, you are standing on the mound, you're basically the pitcher, you're your own coach. I mean, I know Meir is now the head coach, but you were up to you were still like the head, the lead coach, let's say, up until very recently, and you're also your own boss because I mean, you're on boss twice. You're your own coach and your own commissioner. So, I mean, we know that a pitcher, for example, and it's documented, he can walk like four runs by four players on 20 balls, and when the coach comes and say, "How do you feel?" It's oh, I can get the next two.
I got the next best one.
So. You need to do that with yourself now, all right? And and I mean, I always joke that when you go on the mound, you will not, you will end the game. I mean, you have to be like, your arm should fall off. But baseball is still a small sport, and you will have those things where you have your you might play against your own brother if you were on one, and he, we do have those things.
For
that's okay. If he was like on the U18 and you exactly. were on the Rana, so you're playing against your own brother and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
How do you juggle all those different positions?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely complicated. Mm-hmm. I would say when I'm on the mound and pitching, I try to think about like if I'm struggling or if I'm, you know, walk a guy or two, I'm in an icky situation and I know what my options are behind me, you know, in terms of like pitching, I have to be brutally honest with myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes as a pitcher, a coach will come out to me and I'll be like, no, you're not taking me out. Like, I got this. And like, I'll still have those moments where like, yeah, a coach would probably take me out right now, but like, I got this next guy. And like, mm-hmm. if I don't get the next guy, I'm definitely pulling myself, but,
right. and then you have the
but
same,
I got this next
the same
guy.
Thing after you don't get him. No, another one.
So like, theoretically, yes, but like, I try to be, to have some discipline with that, you know, because obviously it's not about me. It's about the team. Like, mm-hmm. I want to win. Like, that's, you know, the yeah. competitor inside of me, like, I want to win.
There's a reason there's a manager outside of the picture who exactly. sees different than the pitcher.
So exactly.
Do you yeah, talk exactly. to, I mean, the fact that you have your brothers there, you have somebody like Mayer, yeah. who was your number two, now is your number one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell them, listen, maybe you'll need to come at mm-hmm. one point and tell me, dude, you don't have it tonight.
So I would just tell the person, what I usually do, the protocol is I would tell the person behind me,
mm-hmm.
In the rotation, meaning someone who come into pitch if I mess up, I'd be like, listen, I'm giving myself one walk or two walks, whatever the situation is, and then I'm done. So, mm-hmm. so be ready to come in type of thing.
Yeah.
Because it gets iffy once you start telling other people to come to you or say things to you when they're not the coach type of thing. With Mayer, obviously now that Mayer's the coach,
yeah, exactly.
he can do whatever Mayer says goes, right, at yeah. the end of the day. But I'll just give you some background with the Beit Shemesh team. You know, the PL League had three teams a few years ago, years ago,
yeah.
you know, and I played on Misgav and I played in Misgav for a few years and I love playing baseball. I'm not going to play baseball if I'm in Israel. And then I was thinking like, wow, there's so many Beit Shemesh players that I grew up with that no longer play. And like, they're still in Israel. They still are probably decent at baseball, maybe a little rust, but like, why not try to put a team together of these guys that, you know, forgot that they love playing baseball,
mm-hmm.
And was able to put a team together within 2 weeks. Like, oh. we had 15,
wow.
20 players. Like,
wow.
it was crazy. Like, I reached out to people and 80% of people I reached out to were like, I'm in, or at least yeah. I'll try it. You know,
all,
some people fall out.
Like hometown?
Hometown. All
yeah,
people
I mean,
grew up with.
The,
they live all over the place now, but wow. they grew up, every single person
all
grew
of them
up in
like
Beit Shemesh.
Americans?
Yeah. Yeah, like
parents.
Yeah. Like some
the
of them were born, yeah, exactly.
But the kids
exactly.
maybe born in Israel.
Some of them were born here.
But the
yeah.
parents are.
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember like, I was driving this guy from one of the other Aliyah or Efrat, and
yeah.
he was like, why am I not in Beit Shemesh? Because I was driving him to Beit Shemesh.
Gotcha.
So he was from Beit Shemesh, but he couldn't come to Beit Shemesh,
exactly.
so he went to one of the other
Yeah,
because
we had a full roster.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were the fourth team in the league,
mm-hmm.
and joined the league, and Freddie was the commissioner at the time.
Right.
And we went...
Freddie Bain was here.
Freddie Bain, yeah. And this was 22-23, Beit Shemesh's first season. And
which other teams? Like Misgav?
It was Beit Shemesh, Misgav, U18,
and
Ranana. I think it was just
yeah,
Ranana.
Yeah, they were Tel Aviv then.
The one that switched to Tel Aviv.
Yeah, they were
right.
Tel Aviv
exactly.
then.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
David Ophir and Dan and David
yeah.
Chisholm teams and all that.
Yeah.
They Nathan won.
And then after the season, Freddie was pretty much focused on national team stuff and whatever. So he was, and he kind of, his head wasn't, his heart wasn't
yeah,
into
yeah,
the
yeah.
PL in general. It was kind of just like a, I wouldn't say a pickup league. It was an organized league, but it was,
yeah,
you know, more chill. And you know, they saw, you know, Freddie and, you know, other people in the organization, I think, saw that, you know, I was able to put a team together so fast,
mm-hmm,
and I was passionate
mm-hmm.
about the PL,
which is
so,
basically I came on Freddie's last season and
exactly.
that's the thing, I saw how he was running the thing, mm-hmm. and I was saying he was let's say there's a difference between maintaining a situation and moving a situation,
exactly.
and you came like a storm,
yeah,
which is the moment I said, okay, this is going to be
yeah
I think beneficial,
mm-hmm.
and you have a vision of, first of all, for a few reasons, you had a vision from day one of 8 teams
mm-hmm.
in the league, both for monetary reasons, let's
mm-hmm.
say,
for sure,
because
for sure.
I think the total requires
from an IAB perspective, 7 teams exactly.
7 teams
yes.
and above,
yes.
so that way we can get the money.
Yeah.
but also to get all those people. And we got the Aliyah guys who are never going to be on a team that size. And we got Efrat and we got the Ra'anana guys. Mm-hmm. Now the Tel Aviv guys.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I mean, we didn't have the PL was so young, and we already had a team club move to a different city.
We have two Misgavs, right?
So this year we're actually having
one
Jerusalem, New Jerusalem team, which will be
a New Jerusalem,
this
a
new coming, Jerusalem this team. Coming season, this the season, one that it
starts
start,
in 2 weeks. Yeah,
no, it's not the New Jerusalem team. It's a Jerusalem team which is new. New Jerusalem is a different thing.
100%.
We're not going there.
We don't go there on this
we
podcast.
We don't go there. Although I would love to have a New Jerusalem. It would be interesting. In the Baptist village.
let's stop it here.
That's for the outtakes. Yeah. Anyway, so a Jerusalem thing and one Misgav.
Yeah. All plays in the Baptist village, right?
All games. And we're gonna almost all games will be in the Baptist village. We'll probably move center or not.
Ra'anana is always a good substitute.
Exactly.
We're going to have Maccabi Aliyah, which did a huge jump. And of course, the U18.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm excited. I honestly said, you send the first draft of the schedule. League, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, because I can only do, again, as everybody keeps harping, I do the broadcast on the YouTube and I don't do Fridays and I will not do Sundays. And I'm like, I always look like I said, man, good thing I set myself a goal. I told myself beforehand, because otherwise I would be probably not having a life.
Yeah, you would have a zero life, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He could.
One day I will just go to sleep in the Baptist village and wake up and
did you ever enter those houses on the left side of the park?
I've never been in them, but they're really
the
nice.
The only thing is, like, when you try to connect to the Wi-Fi, which is very weak and we don't use it, it pops in and igod.co.is.
Once I brought a beer to a game, they told me they shouldn't see that.
Yeah.
Also with dogs, they're weird.
And then you brought
shit
to a game.
I brought a shield to a game. Yeah. She's sleeping.
Oh, she is. So what are your goals going forward?
Yeah.
Because it's funny, we keep asking people, what can we do to improve baseball,
let's split it to what happened up until now and what the goals
about it. So what?
So for till now, like we said, you know, we went from 3 teams to 4 teams to 6 teams and now to 8 teams.
Mm-hmm.
This 8 teams consists of 2 divisions.
Tier
A and Division B.
That was the big worry, because you bring a lot of players. Well, let's just
exactly
say
the talent level is not. There's a gap.
Everything plays. All the other teams?
So what we're going to do is teams play their own division 3 times and then play outside the other division once during this season, so that they get a feel for every team, but you're competing within your division.
So it's not like, Efrat basically scoring 4 runs in a season.
Yeah, against Tel Aviv.
So they will have their own level, and so you can get promoted and
exactly so
it's 13 games
so it's 13 right. games regular season games the top 3 teams make the playoffs, the
top three out of four
from each division,
so
make the playoffs.
Eliminate.
2 teams are eliminated. The bottom team from group A goes down to division B, and the team that wins the championship in division B goes up to league A for the following season.
For that.
No worries.
the top seed will get a bye as well, and 2-3 plays each other in the semis to play the top
two. And the winner goes to the Champions League.
The winner goes to the Champions League in Europe.
We're not joking here. We're joking.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to play Barcelona. And
there is a European tournament, sort of a Champions League.
Yeah.
And the winning team will go there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's
the first time, right?
Yeah, it's the first time. First time will be next year. The winner of this spring season will be going to Europe.
Wow,
next year
that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's like home and away games. You go to play in Italy. You host a team from France.
So you don't host anything. So it's you go out it's and it's a weak tournament. It's a weak tournament against all your other teams in your division. So because it's like, Israeli baseball...
It's like a Mundial. It's like a World Cup.
That's what it is. Because Israeli baseball hasn't done it before, there are four divisions. There are three divisions and a qualifier for the third division. So we'll start in the qualifier for the third division.
But as we know, but as we will probably...
Exactly. You know, you win the third division, you go up to the second. You win the second, you go up to the first in Europe the following.
That's like if you play and you're good and you promote and you win the championship, go to play.
That will make the finals a huge thing.
A real thing.
It was a nice game up until now.
No, yeah, it already did. It already did. You can hear the
Miskov won.
I think they said, listen, it was important for us.
Of course, but it's different.
Yeah, no, I mean, this they already have the
stage. Offer Bobov running all around the place.
I mean, they already think about it. They started the moment it was announced. So the last two championships, you can hear about them saying, this is where we need to be because next season it's Europe.
Okay, so the regular season starts.
The regular season starts on March 2nd.
Okay, ends.
Which is 2.5 weeks. And then it'll go...
And unfortunately, it ends.
The regular season ends in June at some point. I could tell you exactly when.
Yeah, you can. Because he sets the rules.
You know,
he can change it now
if you want.
I have the end.
You know what? Let's make
June 1st doesn't make it good for me. Can you make it 5th?
It's June 13th is the last day of the regular season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My brother's birthday. One of them.
Okay, so you should
and
come
the finals
see,
end.
And then the playoffs. I still didn't finalize the schedule, but we're looking at probably ending the playoffs beginning like July 1st or so.
Yeah, so it's like two weeks.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which exactly. let's talk a bit about the concept of, because as we started and I said we have a thing about Israeli baseball. The Israeli part is very, very problematic, and you mentioned we play a spring and an autumn league because you can't play baseball at winter and you can't play baseball in the Israeli summer. I don't know how the other
it's tough
yeah do it. I mean, it's especially in Ra'anana when they have the artificial grass and somebody said it's 35 degrees above and 35 degrees below because the so-called grass reflects the sun, unlike Baptist village where at least salts they eat. So, and then you have, and we don't need to reiterate, everybody lives here, we have global pandemics, and we have local issues. You were serving on the army, as you mentioned, so we have a lot of Miloin guys, and we have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And on top of that, baseball is not, I don't know, top 10, obviously not top 5, but definitely, but maybe not even top 10.
Yeah, probably not.
So, it's a big challenge. Is there like, and we're not saying what is your plan, but is there thinking of let's try to raise visibility, let's try to do things, go to schools, you know, have stuff. Is there thinking, or is it? Do you say no? My idea is just make the league the best league I can do, and everything else will bubble down or bubble up or trickle down or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think from a league perspective. We wouldn't necessarily like the schools and getting integrated into local cities. It doesn't necessarily have like a big impact, especially in the short term. You know, from a different hat that I wear as, you know, the regional director of Tel Aviv, you know, I work on getting into schools and, you know, having sending coaches to schools, whether it be first graders, third graders, fifth graders, to try to get, you know, those programs in place. To recruit them into the leagues, into the local leagues, because then, you know, the more kids we have, the more players we have in our local leagues, at the end of the day, you know, that's going to have a trickle-down effect into the PL after they finish their army service, likely.
Yeah,
right?
Which is another issue with Israeli
Which
baseball.
Is another big issue, a big barrier, right? At 18, you know, you have your best, a lot of your best players disappear, go off the mat for three years.
So you do it in Tel Aviv already?
Yeah.
So and other cities, other places?
Yeah, Tel Aviv, Ra'anana, Talmont.
The coaches are going to
school? A few of our coaches that are, you know, our global coaches that are, you know, full-time salary
nobody
coaches.
Nobody can hear yet.
Not here yet. So next year.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have like a number, like you say, okay, in Tel Aviv I have like now 100 kids. I want to finish 2025 with 150 or something.
Yeah, for sure. Every region has a different, I would say, goal, at least the regions I'm responsible for. Tel Aviv right now, you know, including the PL, we're probably at like 75 players, mm-hmm. something like that.
From juveniles all
from,
the way up.
From minors all the way up mm-hmm. through PL. Mm-hmm. You know, next year we want to finish the year with 100. And we want to be in 4 schools as opposed to 2. You know, like there are specific goals within each region that we're trying to get to kind of get to this bigger goal mm-hmm. of having a pool of not just Americans that came here, but also Israelis Native, yeah. that grew mm-hmm. up on the game mm-hmm. and, you know, that love baseball and that watch baseball.
I know she was playing in Little League mm-hmm. and all of the others that play with her, it's like Itamar and, mm-hmm. you know, Ito,
yeah.
they have something to do with the States,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
they're from here.
Exactly.
You know? They speak Hebrew.
Exactly.
We love the mm-hmm. American... Well, obviously, speaking to expats or whatever you're...
For sure.
Two of those kids came mm-hmm. because Jake Greenberg did a birthday thing, mm-hmm. a baseball birthday thing,
mm-hmm.
and they loved it and they came to play.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's another way to recruit.
And we also, for sure. I think they also, and you started saying that you became a coach to coach your brothers and...
Yeah,
we see that it's kind of like the thing about having, you know, a 15-kid family. The grown kids raise the young ones.
Turn into the parents at some point.
So we need that rolling thing, and we need the grown kids, like Freddie. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but
yeah.
the 20 years old, the 21 years old, coaching the 10 years old, and the people who goes to mm-hmm. abroad come back.
Exactly.
But the issue is you have this thing, this 3-year thing, and it doesn't even matter that they come, they can play when they're 21, but
mm-hmm.
so a lot of people go to the army and then go away because, yeah. okay, that was fun when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a program to keep in touch with those guys? I mean, most of them will not be Sportive Mitzrayim or whatever.
Yeah.
They will
it depends what they do there.
Yeah, I mean, they will go...
It's
they
the rise, you know. The
yeah, army. Some of them will be, I don't know...
Jobniks?
Yeah, yeah. Jobniks who can come and play.
Sure.
That's good. I mean,
for sure.
But a lot of them may go... I mean, you can be a Jobnik in Metula, which is... So it's not really... come home once a week.
Yeah, I think a lot of people here forget their passion for the game. Like... They grow up playing baseball, mm-hmm. you know, you go through the works here, maybe you play on national teams, maybe just local teams, whatever it is, but you love the sport. You know,
yeah.
there are so many people, if you're playing baseball in high school, it's probably because you love the sport. You know, you have other options to, other sports you can play that are probably easier and less
yeah.
sophisticated and more Israeli. If you're choosing to play baseball in high school, it means mm-hmm. that you're into it, it brings you joy.
Yeah.
The competition of it, the sport itself, it brings
yeah.
you joy. So for these few years that, you know, you're going off to the army and you're forgetting about that joy, maybe.
Yeah.
And then when you're done with the army, you know, you're going traveling, you're starting work, you're going to school, and maybe your mentality isn't focused on, oh, I used to really love playing baseball. It's
right.
not just a thing that I could do as a kid. I could do it as an adult. You know, for me personally, it's a competition and a joy
right.
thing.
Well,
you know, like I want to play high level baseball.
You're preaching to the choir.
Exactly, I know.
You
I am.
Know how good baseball
Thank
is.
You, sir. For sure. So for me to get back
yeah.
into the PL and to take over as a commissioner, like that all comes from passion of having high
yeah,
level baseball here.
Like, because I see you on the mound. I mean, you're like, I always love, I mean, you're one of my favorite players. I mean, just because you are like the epitome of the, I call it the fire on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if your defense players would do something to ruin your back, you did a great pitch, roll down to the second baseman and he tosses it to the dugout. Well, let's just say he better take a few steps back.
It's like a Roger Clemens thing.
yeah, he's the Roger Clemens.
Kind of.
And he's the Roger, but on acid, on steroids. Not on the same.
I think acid is more accurate than steroids.
Okay.
It's not a bad thing.
Okay, yeah, somebody threw a no-hitter on acid. But,
that is true.
But so I'm saying you brought that atmosphere and that winning mentality to running the baseball. That's thing, but... You notice that the people who remains are usually brothers off, like the Bob Ross, like
mm-hmm.
the things, because their family, their younger brothers who keep playing, keep the fire going.
Exactly.
We need,
yeah.
maybe we need those people who go to the army
mm-hmm.
to have some sort of a connection. You know, maybe just remind them that they have still have family, their family, the baseball family.
Mm-hmm.
So when they finished it, they will not just, you know, forget.
Vanish.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think taking into account any player that leaves at 18 mm-hmm. that we know they're going to the army, having them in our system, and then reaching out to them within 6 months of finishing
maybe
the army.
Maybe you should have an army team. You know, like you have an U18?
Like a military team.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I always say,
I think you need 50 people on that roster though, because
I had the idea, instead of having all this Sportai Mitzdayen, Sportai Lo, just have like an army team, a football team, a mm-hmm. basketball team, mm-hmm. you know, and have them play the league.
Should be good ones.
I mean, the Americans do it, but
all in shape.
But that's like a college team, it's not a great team.
The problem is the continuity, right? Because you have a lot of players on those teams.
You have them for 3 years, and then they, or 2 years or whatever, and then and you always have new players. Yeah. Yeah.
But even on those years, like the problem...
And have them play like Liga Artsit, you know, have them play in competition.
But if they're not playing throughout the season, like if they, you have an army team, right, and you can only make one in every five games, you know, then you're going to have less connection to the team and winning and competition.
That's true.
Like you want to keep that competitive edge, like it's a balance.
Okay.
I have another question. Oh, okay, yeah. So we have the thing of recruiting the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the this other thing that the venues, it's a big world venue.
For sure.
But a ballpark, a place to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you want those kids or maybe their parents mm-hmm. to know that when they send their kids, they have somewhere to play. And we're a bit behind here, which is not the
construction site in Bechemish or the sandlot in Misgav or whatever. Goodness.
Yeah,
I mean, you're preaching to the choir, man. Like this is the biggest barrier in my opinion that the IAB has. Mm-hmm. Like beyond everything else, like the culture barriers, everything is fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like but having the thing access is, to we fields. Have so we the Chemish thing it's, is already dug up. It's there. Nobody's using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is it not finished?
So it's 100% bureaucracy, local bureaucracy.
Well, obviously,
So I'm saying,
welcome to Israel.
But my point is that the money is there for the field, right? There's about $5 million that have been allocated. That have been allocated for this field. This field is going to be a, you know, high level college level
field.
Clubhouse, stands.
I mean, they dug it. They
amazing draining. Lights are top notch. Like it's going to be a real field.
What do we need to do?
That started 8 years ago. Uh-huh. My dad's been.
There's
you know,
a sign, right?
There's a sign there. They even play. They play ball now. It's like just a flat lot right now.
It's awful.
You're telling me, man. Like it will be. If this field is ever built, this will be the best field in Israel by far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're 7 or 8 years into this already, and my dad says
like
you know
five
about
times already.
They could have finished it 5 times for sure. My guess is it'll be done in the next 2 years, 3 years.
You think so? The question is, you know, I don't talk about done. Yeah. When the first thing is happening there.
So when we'll get to a point where people from cadets and up, let's say, can play in that field. I would say we're about a year, year and a half away from that. Just only because of local politics. Only because who's in office there and how it is
again,
to deal with them. And
for example, I know off or on the record, I don't even know that part of the idea of bringing the European Championship here was to, because it's a European tournament, mm-hmm. then whomever is red taping the field in Bechemish, we'll go, oh my God.
We'll push it through.
Yeah, we push it through.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, war.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have wars here,
which
there's not going to be an Israeli European championship. Not this year, not next year, not the one afterwards.
Yeah.
No. We had to move back from 2023. We're not going to do 2025.
Yes.
And the Sportech venue?
So that's, I mean, for me personally, you know, the Sportech is the most important field in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Tel Aviv, right? It's off the highway. Obviously, I don't have to explain to you guys the location of the field. It's amazing.
It's moving.
It is moving for the first, for this is the best momentum the IAB has had. Ari is incredible.
Yeah,
Ari Varon is, shout out to Ari Varon.
He's like working in it.
He is really into it and he is passionate about it and he gets shit done. Like like without him, when I was in Miloim and whatnot, like that would have been really tough.
Nolan,
it's also.
I mean, it's so annoying.
It's a blessing
that potentially we could have. I'm thinking, Baptist Village, Ranana, Gezer, Gezer is a softball field.
Yeah, it's all small.
And Mitch Mantle. So four fields. One of them. So we have Baptist Village.
Mm-hmm.
We have a non-regulation.
We have the Sandlot in Misgav.
Which is
the worst
but
thing.
We have terrible. Baptist Village. We have a non-regulation field in Ra'anana. We have a construction site in Beit Shemesh. And we have a dream and a vision in Karnei Shomron.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. I'm thinking to myself, this is like, if we were like after those four, I mean, Ra'anana is
built. Yeah. It's mainly not a money.
Oh, and the
right?
Sportec 5.
Mainly not a money.
And the Sportec 5 baseball fields in Israel would have raised the visibility and the.
And we might be there like 2 years.
And it will.
No, but the
it
thing
will,
is, Sportec, so we have Baptist Village, Ra'anana is Bchiale Dorot, Beit Shemesh construction site, a vision, and Sportec, I don't know, maybe it's going to be there.
Like we've made some moves in Sportec. I think that's
somebody parking. Yeah.
All right.
So we added some dirt. We had someone come in and fix up the baselines on the pitching mound just to flatten it out and make it serviceable. We plan on doing more.
Lights.
So now we have like we put up temporary lights on the over the backstop, and we put in a batting cage there as well. Right. So and the area is working with us, meaning. They already approved,
which is a new thing.
It hasn't happened until the last few months,
We had here Chaim and Ofir Katz, and they said the issue was the area.
So when did you have them here? That's interesting.
Two years ago.
Yeah. Okay, so
Beginning
of
the season 2 years ago. That was when the Pirates were still winning.
It was before Jake came up.
Gotcha, before Jake was involved.
Yeah.
So the field, in terms of the area, like we're actually moving forward. We're supposed to have a contract in the next like week from them in terms of finalizing terms, what we can do and where we can do it. And they're not going to give us full rights of the field yet, which is the biggest barrier, because if we had full rights to this field and we could do whatever we want with it, then we would have had an amazing field there 15 years ago. You know, that's not the case. It's not going to be the case this year.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know, more we talk with the area, once we get numbers up in Tel Aviv and, you know, we're sitting on, you know, 70 or whatever it is now, if we could get that number up to 100 next year and come to them and be like, we have 100 people practicing here every on a weekly basis. Give us a field, more will come, you know, type of thing. We'll have more leverage. And that's the hope for Tel Aviv.
Right. And one thing everybody says, bring somebody who sells hot dogs and food. Apparently, that's the one thing that will rescue baseball.
Yeah, that's
when people know they can get a good hot dog in a baseball game, they will come, apparently.
What about a Knishla? You can't get Knishes here.
I have to say Mazel Tov to the nobody.
You can skip it.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question for you.
Sounds like a good guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, in the States, they have these betting cages that you come and you flip like two quarter or something, and you get like 50 pitches you can swing.
Those
round things.
Yeah.
If we could have built one like those in next to the
batting cage style,
people will just, you know, pop by and just, you know,
100%
take every whatever happened this day, you know, they walk, you want to
switch it off. Some balls. Seconds get beamed by a baseball.
Yeah, you know, I do it every day.
Yeah,
you know,
every day.
You probably were already beamed.